the last time you caught your reflection in a store window and looked away before even deciding how you felt about it? You'd think after all these years that voice in your head would finally be on your side, but no, still running her mouth. Today, I'm giving you the behind the scenes look at how I actually talk to myself through consistency, self-doubt, and every excuse my brain hands me before a workout. Now, fair warning, it's not as put together as it looks on Instagram.
You're listening to the Arm Coach Podcast with me, Christine Rucker, Arm Coach and founder of the Arms by Christine program. Here, we talk about toned and sculpted arms and what it really takes to get sustainable results so you can feel proud and confident in sleeveless clothes.
Everyone, welcome to the Arm Coach Podcast, episode 126. So listen, we're going to do something a little different today because I get this question all the time. Christine, you talk about becoming a naturally toned woman and building self-trust instead of relying on motivation. But what does that actually look like day to day? What do you do when you don't feel like showing up? So I want to give you a real behind the scenes look at how I coach myself through this. Because the tools I use to stay consistent with my arms are the same tools that built my business, kept me showing up for this podcast every week, and honestly saved my relationship with myself. There is a voice that lives in almost every woman's head, and she has opinions about your arms. She has opinions about whether you're going to actually finish that workout or skip it again. And for a long time, I let her run the whole show. I had a client say something to me recently that I told her I was stealing because it was too good not to. She said, "I want to turn the critic on my shoulder into the coach on my shoulder." That is exactly what I've spent years figuring out how to do. I definitely had a critic who ran her mouth for a long time, and I did nothing to stop her because I didn't know how. Now I have a coach on my shoulder instead, and she is the reason that I still show up on the hard days. So I'm going to break this down into five parts: awareness, acceptance, practice, interrupting, and learning. Okay, so let's get into it. So the first part is awareness. And so here's the truth right out of the gate. You cannot change a voice you've never actually listened to. Okay, now for me, awareness starts with time alone with just me and my brain. That used to be the last thing that I wanted. My brain didn't have anything nice to say, so why would I want to sit with it? But I had to build that space anyway, because you can't fix what you refuse to look at. So for me, this shows up as my morning walk. It's the very first thing I do every day. No phone, no email, no scrolling through what everyone else's arms look like before 9 in the morning. Just me and whatever my brain wants to bring up. Some days I'm thinking about work. And then some days I'm annoyed about something small. Some days I actually enjoy the walk, but I get to see what's actually in there instead of drowning it out the second I open my eyes. I used to wake up and immediately check my phone. I was filling my brain with everyone else's noise before I ever asked myself a single question. If you want to become a woman who follows through on her own workouts, you have to start hearing your own thoughts before life hands you 100 other people's. The second piece of awareness for me is writing things down. I cannot say this enough. If a thought stays trapped in your head, you will treat it like fact. You'll believe, "I don't have time for this workout," the same way you believe the sky is blue. But the second you write it down, you get a little distance. You start to see, oh, that's not a fact. That's just a thought I'm used to having. So when I catch myself thinking something ugly about my arms or my consistency, I write it down. right? Getting it out of your head is the first step to realizing it was never the truth. It was just a habit of thinking. Then there's part two, which is like acceptance. Acceptance is huge. And it starts with something most of us skip completely, which is actually naming what you're feeling. So many women blow right past this. I don't want to name it. I just feel off. I feel blah. I feel like garbage today. You have to name the actual feeling, because once you do, you know what you're dealing with. And you can remind yourself that nothing has gone wrong. And I want to tell you something that, you know, I don't share very often. When I was 13, my parents' marriage fell apart. And it was not quick and it was not clean. It fell apart in the way things do when two people are in too much pain to stop hurting each other. I used to lie in bed listening to them argue, and I felt helpless, like the walls were closing in and there was nothing that I could do. So I did the only thing that made me feel better, and that was to eat. I didn't even realize what I was doing at the time. Food was the one thing I could control when everything else felt like chaos. And it worked. So I kept doing it for years. 20 years later, I walked into a store to try on a pair of pants, and I could not fit into the largest size on the rack. You guys, I went out into my car and I cried. That was the moment that I saw exactly how far I had drifted from myself. And the truth that I had to face was that 13-year-old girl, she wasn't lazy and she wasn't undisciplined. She was scared and she found a way to survive it. She kind of made herself small and she never learned how to actually feel the hard feeling instead of eating past it. You know, if I had just let myself name it back then, and if I had just said out loud, I'm scared and I'm sad and nothing's gone wrong with me, I might have saved myself 2 decades of starting over every Monday. So now when something hard comes up, I name it instead of running from it or numbing it. You're feeling anxious right now, and that's okay. You're feeling disappointed you missed your workout, and that's okay too. Nothing's gone wrong. You're just having a feeling, and feelings are allowed to visit without you handing them the keys to your whole day. And then there's practice. Practice is the part everyone wants to skip. You listen to a podcast like this, and something clicks, and you think, great, now I understand myself. So where are my toned arms? Practice is the piece nobody wants to hear about because it's not glamorous. But here's the thing. We wouldn't sign up for a marathon and skip every training run. You have to actually practice these tools the same way you practice a bicep curl. One thing I practice constantly is asking better questions. Most of us get stuck asking dead-end questions. Why can't I just stick to a workout plan like everyone else? What's wrong with me? These questions don't lead anywhere useful. Instead, I practice asking, what thought am I thinking right now that's making me want to quit? That question actually goes somewhere because it points you back to your thinking instead of your circumstances. I also practice doing things that scare me way more than I ever did when I was hiding in oversized clothes. I wear the sleeveless top before I feel ready. I post the video before my arms look good enough. I show up to a heavier set of weights even when part of me wants to hang back with what's comfortable. And every single time I do a hard thing before I feel ready, I'm teaching my brain a new lesson. You can survive this. That uncomfortable feeling passed and you're still standing. And I also practice in small, unglamorous ways, like waiting through a craving without reaching for food to numb it, standing in line without pulling my phone out to distract myself. It's wild what your brain does when you actually let it sit there instead of rescuing it. Mine used to spiral into, how much longer is this? Why is this taking forever? Watching that happen taught me so much about how quickly my brain wants to escape discomfort and how much power I get back the moment I just let it be uncomfortable for a minute. And finally, I practice new identity thoughts by using them as my passwords. Okay, so right now, the thought I'm working on typing into existence every single day is something like, she follows through now, and I have to type it to open my laptop. That forces my brain to practice a new pathway instead of the old familiar one. Now we get to interrupting. And interrupting is what keeps this whole cycle from just running on autopilot. It starts with interrupting your critic. And let me be clear, she is still there, but I've done a lot of work, but she still talks sometimes. The difference is I don't obey her anymore. I learned this years ago from something as simple as stubbing my toe. I remember that reading that what you think in that split second decides how much it actually hurts emotionally, not just physically. And so the next time I stubbed my toe, I caught myself mid-string of insults towards myself. And I thought, wait, what if I just interrupt that? And what if I didn't have it mean anything about me? It was shocking how much lighter that felt, because it turns out most of the pain that we carry isn't the event itself. It's everything we pile on top of it in our own head. So I practice this constantly with the mirror. My critic didn't have anything nice to say for a long time. Ugh, your arms look soft today. Why does your skin look like that? Nothing kind ever. Now I catch that first ugly sentence and I interrupt it before it finishes, right? I don't have to love everything I see to refuse to trash talk myself over it. And language matters here too. I watch the word should like a hawk, because should never once created a good feeling in anyone. I should have worked out this morning. I should look better by now. I catch it and swap it immediately. I want to, or I'll get to it later. Taking should out of your vocabulary takes a shocking amount of pressure off. Then there's interrupting urges. I don't really get the urge to skip a workout out of nowhere anymore. That took real practice, but I still get urges, plenty of them, mostly around, you know, stress eating and mostly around distracting myself instead of doing the hard, uncomfortable thing in front of me. My brain still tries to offer me an out. Maybe just check your phone instead. Maybe today's not the day. And the work now is catching that urge, naming it, and choosing anyway. That's the whole game, not the absence of urges, the interruption of them. And then part five is learning. Now, so the last piece is understanding that this entire process is about learning, not judging. I was teaching a class recently on noticing where we judge other women, especially around their bodies and their consistency. And one woman raised her hand and said, "Christine, I notice myself judging other people, but then I feel like a terrible person for judging, and I just get kind of stuck." So here's what I told her. Judgment itself is neutral because every brain does it. The problem is what she made it mean. She made it mean I'm a bad person. And when she believed that, she felt shame, and shame makes women hide instead of grow. So for most of us stuck in a shame spiral, loving ourselves feels, it just feels miles out of reach. Curiosity is a lot closer. I notice myself judging someone and I just get curious. Where did that come from? What does that say about what I value? So I use that same curiosity on myself constantly. I wonder why I skipped that workout, right? Why is my brain offering excuses today? Now, if you can get curious instead of getting cruel, you open up so much room to actually grow. So I want you to pause on this. Think back to the last time you talked yourself out of something good for you. What did that voice sound like? Whose voice did it remind you of? Okay, and then here's the real question. If your daughter, your best friend, or the 13-year-old version of you were standing there instead, would you have said the same thing to her? Probably not. So why does she still get to say it to you? So this is how a naturally toned woman gets built, not through a perfect streak of workouts and not through silencing every hard feeling that shows up. She's built through awareness, through actually naming what you feel instead of eating past it, through practice, through interrupting the old script, and through choosing curiosity over judgment over and over until it becomes who you are instead of something that you're trying to remember to do. Your arms change because your habits change, and your habits change because you finally trust the voice running the show. So if this episode hits something in you, I want you in my world. So head over to Arms by Christine at thearmcoach.com and let's build toned arms and a relationship with yourself that finally works together. Remember, this was never about becoming someone new. It's about becoming someone you actually trust again. All right, everybody, I'll see you next week.
Hey, before you go, if this episode or any of the other episodes on this podcast have helped you in any way, please leave a 5-star rating and review. Your review will help us find and have maximum impact on as many women as possible. While you're there, hit the subscribe button so we can continue on this journey to sculpted arms together. Thank you so much for your support. I've loved having you here today, and talk soon in the next episode.